Welcome to the Disney Parks Podcast with your hosts, Tony Castelnova from DisneyByTheNumbers.com and Krista Joy from DisneyWays.com. Keep your hands, arms, feet, and legs inside the podcast at all times and get ready for the Disney Parks Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. We have a very special guest for you today, Christy Frederick. She's a lifelong fan of all things Disney, and she's been visiting the resort since she was just a mere infant. She really feels there's nothing better than enjoying a Disney vacation with the ones you love. And her new book is called 501 Ways to Make the Most of Your Walt Disney World Vacation and A Tale of Two Resorts Comparing Disneyland and Walt Disney World. She's also the founder of a really great site, Disney World Enthusiast, and a blogger for touring plans as well. Busy lady. Christy, thanks for taking time to be with us here on the show.
Thanks a lot for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks for coming on, Christy. I like to ask everybody this question because it's always interesting, the answer. So how did you become like a Disney fan or enthusiast?
Well, you know, I have been visiting Disney since I was a baby, and so I think just growing up in a Disney family, it's always been a part of our lives. We've vacationed there ever since I can remember. I've been there with my parents, my grandparents, my aunts, uncles, cousins, now my husband and my children, and it's just kind of a family tradition for us, and I can't imagine Disney not being a big part of my life.
So I'm going to make the assumption then that there were other family members that were Disney enthusiasts that kind of, you know, kept bringing you and you kept bringing other people and really just got this thing kind of going then.
Yes. Yeah. My parents, as soon as it opened in 71, we lived in Indiana at the time. And so we would drive down there and my parents loved it. And they're as enthusiastic about Disney as I am.
Yeah. All it takes is one parent.
Yes, exactly.
Then you're off and running.
Yes.
Well, and I told Tony that we were having you on the show, and I said her book is 501 ways, and he went, 501 ways? So that's kind of a high number. So tell us about that a little bit.
Well, you know, because I've traveled there for so many years and so many trips that I've just found lots of little different tips and tricks that have kind of made our vacations easier, more fun, more special. And when you go that often, you sometimes look for things that are new or different to keep it entertaining and exciting, especially for my kids. I want them to, you know, be lifelong fans as well. And my husband, too, who's kind of married into this family, he didn't visit Disney as a child. So to get him enthused as well, I try to find interesting things to do. And so these 501 ways are just things that we've learned over the years through through all of our trips, just to make things, you know, fun and exciting.
Okay. Being a Disney by the numbers person.
Yes.
Why? All right. So why 501, not 500, not 499, not...
Well, you know, it's funny because when I first pitched the book, I pitched it as 101. And as I started writing it, I thought, well, I have 101 tips before I even get to Disney World. There's like over 101 things that I do to prepare for the trip. So 101 is not going to be enough. And as I kept writing it, the number got bigger and bigger and bigger. And finally, I was like, okay, I'm going to have to cut myself off at some point. I can't have 1,001 in this book. So I don't know. I just picked the number and I have a 500, you know, tips. And then I have my one special tip at the end. My final one that I think is the most important tip of all. And that's why I went with the 501 instead of 500.
Yeah. You should have done 1,001 and then only gave us 1 through 500 in one book and another 500 in another book.
Well, you know what? I just might. I was talking to my publisher about it, and there just might be a part two coming up sometime in the future.
There you go.
That's great. Well, and also we noticed the different ways aren't numbered. Is there a reason for that?
Well, you know, we talked about it. At first I had them numbered, and then I took the numbers out, and we kind of went back and forth about it with my publisher/editor and myself, and The reason we ultimately didn't go with numbers is because two reasons. Number one, they cut off in strange places. You know, before you arrive, has like 196 tips in it or something. I'm just a little compulsive and detail oriented, so I wanted it, you know, to be nice and clean where the numbers cut off, and that wasn't really happening for me. And then the second one was I didn't want people to get hung up on the number. I didn't want them to think tip number one or tip number 10 was somehow more important than tip number 499. They're really all equally important. Some people are going to find some tips work really well for them because maybe some of them have babies. There's some tips in there for people who are traveling with children. There's tips in there for people who are traveling with multi-generational groups, which is what we usually do. So I didn't want people to get hung up on the number system because they may find tip number 312 to be the most important one for them rather than tip number one.
That makes sense. So what would be, you know, if you were pitching to, you know, somebody that, you know, just found the book, what are some of your favorite tips and secrets from the book that, you know, may be helpful?
Well, you know, I would say, especially for anybody, a first timer, somebody who wants to see and do as much as possible, and you're going to see this everywhere on the internet, but you can't stress it enough, rope drop, which means when the park opens, if you be there at the opening of the park, because traditionally, most people roll in about 10 to 11 a.m., and that's where you're going to see the crowds really pick up. But if you are there at the gates 30 minutes or so before the park opens so that you're in line, ready to go, the Magic Kingdom, you even get to see a welcome show by being there early. If you are one of the first folks into the park, you can see, you know, 3 to 6 rides in those first 2 hours or first hour and a half before everybody else, you know, just kind of convenes on the park. And it just makes all the difference in the world, especially when you're traveling with a big group of people or young children. They seem to just do so much better in the morning. And as the time wears on during the day and it gets hot and crowded and they get tired and cranky, it's just a little bit harder to enjoy your day. So we try to get there at rope drop. I would say that's one of the most important. And then the other one that I think is super important is not trying to do it all. Disney World is huge, and there's just really no way to do it all in a week or a month. So I think just finding your top priorities and your family and friends that you're visiting with, their top priorities, trying to fit some of those in each and every day of your vacation. But not overscheduling yourself. Don't expect to see everything. Don't set your expectations so high so that you're not, you know, scrambling to get from place to place. Just really enjoying everything that you get to see and not concerning yourself about the things that maybe you don't get to see on this trip.
Yeah.
Those are being my big ones.
Yeah, so it's interesting that you mentioned rope drop. I was kidding with a cast member this past weekend, and we were talking about how there's really not like a low season anymore or low time. You know, and I said, yeah, the low time is from rope drop to about 9:15. And then after that, it's just pure chaos. So
it is really true. It's funny because when I was there this weekend, the Magic Kingdom opened at 8 a.m. one day and just regular hours, not extra magic hours. And so I thought, oh, this place is going to be a madhouse. And I ended up getting there about 7:30. And there was hardly anybody there. And I actually have some photographs where I'm walking down Frontierland, you know, headed towards Big Thunder. And there's only like 3 other people in Frontierland with me. And I was really surprised. But then by 10 a.m., you know, it was just packed. The whole place was packed.
Yeah, the magic's gone.
Great stuff. So now can you, I know you've got, we're kind of putting you on the spot, but do you have a good tip for maybe a local that goes to Walt Disney World?
You know, I would say for a local, and this is one thing that we do because we visit frequently and we just love this so much. We do what we call challenges. So my family loves to call this, we're big Amazing Race fans. So we like to call this the Amazing Race around Walt Disney World. And we do this usually just once a year because it takes some putting together. But we get divided up into teams. We get team t-shirts. We have trophies that we pass along year after year for our first, second, and third place teams. And we create some sort of a challenge between the parks or maybe just at one park. And it can include things like riding certain attractions, seeing certain shows. The one that we did last year was more of a scavenger hunt where there was all of these different items. There was 100 items in. And we did Epcot and Magic Kingdom. There was 100 items in each park. And you had to go through and see how many you could find, take a photograph of them. And you had an hour to do each park. And then we met up at Sunshine Seasons in Epcot and reviewed our results and see, you know, to see who got the most items found and who got to win first, second, and third place. So I really think, you know, just doing those kinds of things, a challenge like that, or sometimes we'll do a crawl, like a cupcake crawl where we'll, you know, try a treat or something in each country at World Showcase, or we'll try cupcakes at different resorts, or, you know, something like that, just kind of to keep the magic alive and do something a little bit different. And I think that would work really well with locals.
I love that.
Yeah, the most popular thing this podcast does is our annual monorail crawl. You know, we go from, obviously, lounge to lounge in the resorts along the monorail. And probably the most frequent thing we get asked. Correct, Krista?
Absolutely. Yeah. When's the next one?
Yeah, when's the next one? How come you don't have them more often?
Yeah. You know, those kinds of things are just so much fun. Are you going to do it so you get to check out the new Trader Sam's at the Polynesian?
Yeah.
Oh gosh.
I hope so.
We can get in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that place is going to be packed. I can't even imagine.
Yeah, even, you know, this one's going to be larger, obviously, thank God, than Disneyland. It's even going to have an outdoor area, and I still think it's going to be a zoo. I think there's going to be a line from there to the TTC parking lot.
I think you're right.
It's just going to be chaos and mayhem, and I really don't know how they're going to stop people from going there so that the resort guests can enjoy it, but it's going to be interesting to see.
I think people are going to be lining up at 9 a.m. To get in whenever it opens.
Before we move on, Christy, when you go to map out a cupcake crawl, is where do you find your information? Do you go online and just research it all and get it ready to go, or...
Yeah, you know, I do. If I'm going to do something like that, especially food-oriented, I love the Disney food blog, personally. That's the one that AJ Wolf puts together. I like that. They do a lot of snacks and things like that. So if you're going to do something to do with snacks or cupcakes, that's a really good place to check out. I enjoy looking at her site a lot. For something like that, that's where I would go. When I do a different kind of challenge where I'm, you know, doing a scavenger hunt or attractions, some of those things I'm just super familiar with because I've been there a lot. But you can also check out different websites like Touring Plans, where I work as a blogger. They have a lot of great photographs. Daisy does a weekly blog post about Disney World and her adventures there, and she does a lot of great photos included in that. So sometimes when I'm doing a scavenger hunt type thing, I'll scout out her pictures and I'll say, oh, look, there's a hitching post on Main Street. Okay, I'm going to put that in my challenge. Somebody's got to try to find that hitching post that I saw in her photo. You know, those kinds of things if I'm looking for a scavenger hunt type challenge.
That's great. So creative.
It's fun.
So we talked about the local, but what would you tell maybe, say, somebody that, you know, is not local like us, two crazy Disney fans, but maybe somebody like yourself that comes pretty frequently, you know, once to four times a year? Would there be something different you might tell them to, you know, compared to a local person? Some tips?
Well, you know, I mean, again, I think when you're traveling from out of town, you kind of get that compulsion where I have to make the very most of it, and I've got to get in as much as I possibly can because it's going to be a while until I get back. I really need to get that Disney fix, and I'm not going to sleep because I can sleep at home, and I'm not going to eat because I can eat at home, and I'm not going to swim because I can swim at home. I mean, I'm really bad about that, but I think just if you can just somehow stop, take a deep breath, and just live in the moment and just enjoy each and every second that you have there and not get so wrapped up in accomplishing everything, but just enjoying each thing that you do. I think that's so important for us who come from out of town, because we're sometimes just so motivated to check things off the list. We kind of lose sight of what we're doing. You know, you're sitting on Winnie the Pooh, but you're thinking about, okay, now I got to get to Peter Pan before that line gets too long, because that's going to be a 90-minute wait for a 2-minute ride. I got to hurry. You know, just really living in that moment and enjoying it and not worrying about, okay, I didn't get to see 1,000 things. I only saw, you know, 50 things, but that's okay, because I really enjoy those 50. I think that's so important for us who don't get there quite as often.
So would you, because I'm always torn between this, you know, even as a local, or, you know, when I used to have to, you know, actually fly down here, would you recommend somebody planning their day or kind of being, you know, half plan it and then half be spontaneous?
Well, I am a planner by nature. That's probably one of the reasons why I love touring plans and work for them. They're very high on the planning group. I would plan it because, like you said earlier, there really is not a low season at Disney anymore. I mean, every time I go there, no matter what the season, it is very crowded. And I feel like if you go in without a plan, especially if you're a first timer or somebody who's not super familiar with the place, you can spend a lot of time just walking from attraction to attraction saying, well, this line's too long. Let me go see what this one is. Oh, okay, this one's long too. Now what do I do? I really think just taking the time to map out a little bit. You know, I understand that people like to be spontaneous, and believe it or not, I even plan time to be spontaneous. I mean, if we have like a week-long vacation, we usually plan a couple of nights just to wing it. And it probably doesn't sound very spontaneous, but that's about as spontaneous as I can get in Disney. But if you don't, you know, I would take full advantage of those 3 fast passes that you get per day. If it's important to you to sit down and have a table service meal, it's crazy, but if you don't book those reservations, the odds of getting a walk-up or a cancellation by somebody else so they can squeeze you in are just so slim anymore. I mean, I haven't had any success at it. Maybe people have, but I can't get in just a walk-up anymore. So if those things are important, I think I would definitely do some advanced planning. Definitely.
Yeah, I used to really just plan my meals. Like, you know, it's going to have lunch here, dinner here, and then planned what attractions I could probably fit in between those, you know, periods.
Right.
So that was kind of the way I did mine, because I don't know, I guess I came so many times, it wasn't always about going on the attractions. I mean, you know, as a local now, and probably other people can attest to this, is once you go so many times, sometimes you just like to go to the Magic Kingdom to, you know, hang out in the atmosphere of the Magic Kingdom. And maybe, you know, if you get on the People Mover, well, you get on the People Mover. But you know, recently there have been lines for even the People Mover. So that's not even a walk-on attraction sometimes.
Yeah, we noticed that this weekend there was a line for the People Mover. But, you know, my parents are very much that way. They very much like to just go and my dad calls it the bench program. He likes to move from one bench to another, just hanging out, enjoying the atmosphere. And so when I'm planning the trip, and we usually travel with my mom and dad, my husband, and my 2 sons. And when I'm making fast pass reservations and stuff like that, they're like, oh, well, just, you know, get us whatever. We don't care. We might ride it. We might not. You know, we just kind of like be in there. So they just like to soak up the atmosphere.
I wish they had fast passes for some of the benches.
Exactly. The benches are even full nowadays.
They are.
Especially the ones in the shade.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those shady ones in Epcot are hard to find. We were looking everywhere for one this weekend.
And they are a dying breed, because if you're sitting, you're not spending money. That's my philosophy that Disney's taken on with benches. They keep either they're playing hide-and-go-seek with them or they're just removing them.
I think you're right. Because I noticed when we were at the Magic Kingdom, there was people sitting and laying like all over the new hub area.
Exactly.
Like, is this because there's no place to sit otherwise?
They built that beautiful area and there is not one single bench or seat.
I know. I'm kind of surprised at that.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering, will they bring in any later?
I doubt it. I really
maybe
do.
Maybe not.
I really don't. I really think that, you know, there's a philosophy somewhere, you know, with some CFO that he's just like, no places for people to sit. No. if they're sitting, they're not spending any money. They're not at a restaurant. They're not in a attraction. An attraction leads to a gift shop. So, you know, that's just me.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah. You know, like at Casey's, I thought when they would expand that seating area at Casey's that there would be a lot more places for people to sit, but I still see tons of people just standing up, wandering around with their hot dogs, trying to figure out, you know, what to do and where to eat.
Yeah. On the other side, by the plaza, they did expand that seating area. It's almost doubled in size, but still in all, I don't think there's enough seats for the amount of people that get ice cream.
Exactly. Yeah. It melts before you can.
Yeah.
And find a place to sit and eat it.
Exactly.
Do you ever get to go to Disneyland?
I do. I was out there not too long ago and checked out the new Cars Land. And we actually spend a little bit more time in Disney World now. When I was younger, I would go out to Disneyland with friends in school. And when my husband and I, we actually honeymooned in Disneyland, and we've been out there a few times with my boys, but my parents are DVC members in Disney World, so we tend to visit there a little bit more frequently. But we do like Disneyland, and when we go out there, we like to hit up, you know, like the Blue Bayou, and you can't beat pirates out there.
That's
a lot
for
of good
sure.
stuff. Yeah, a lot of good stuff out there.
So you think there'll be a 501 ways to enjoy Disneyland look?
You know, I'm not sure. I have two other books that I'm working on right now, and the next one is an updated version of A Tale of Two Resorts, the 2016 version of that, and then another book coming out this fall that will also be about Disney World. So that's kind of, I have so much going on right now, I'm kind of focused on those two, but I wouldn't say that there wouldn't be a 501 for Disneyland, but that might be a little bit further down the road.
Yeah, that's great.
Favorite park, Christy?
Oh, see, now this one's so hard. It changes like daily. You know, you go in and you're like, oh, I love this part. I love this part.
Yeah.
But I'm going to have to say Epcot. I'm going to have to say Epcot. I love the wide open space. I love World Showcase. And although some of my favorite things that were in Future World are gone now, like World of Motion and Horizons and the original Imagination, I still like the things that they have up there. And I'm hopeful, you know, now once they're done investing so much in getting Avatar and Star Wars and all of those other changes, that hopefully they'll refocus back on Epcot and do some improving there on the front end.
Yeah, I think it's time to remove the tombstones and, you know, make it a park again.
Yeah, I think about that every time I walk in the front. I'm thinking, couldn't they move those someplace else? I don't know where you'd put them. I understand people have a sentimental attachment to those, but I think if they were somewhere on the property, people would still be okay with it. Not right in front of Epcot.
Yeah. In a parking lot. No, you know what? It'd probably be nice to put them someplace like downtown, like Disney Springs, in some parking lot area, grassy area. Just put them all there and let them, or scatter them all over the place. You know, put a little in, you know, each of the resorts or wherever. Just get them out of there, because I think the park feels very crowded when you walk in there now.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, back in the old days, it was nice. It was this big, vast thing and a giant, you know, golf ball. Crazy. But.
Yeah. You know, I like your idea of moving those. Maybe they could make some sort of nice memorial somewhere.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I don't call it the Disney Cemetery. I don't know.
Exactly. So people wouldn't be trying to spread their ashes in the Haunted Mansion all the time.
Exactly.
Just do that over there.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
You know, another great area is there's that walkway that doesn't lead to... It looks like it goes to the Grand Floridian by the Magic Kingdom.
Yes, yeah.
Fill that little walkway with all those little tombstones.
I like that.
And then you have the little pathway with those people's stones. And if you bought one of them, you can visit both those things at the same time.
I love your idea. Well, and then we could definitely set up a place for people to do the ashes right there.
Yeah, exactly.
I think we should, you know, let Disney know our exciting plans.
Yeah. We know some Imagineers listen to this show. What do they do with the information is up to them.
Did you hear that, Imagineers? We want to set up a cemetery over there.
Exactly.
You know, because I really do have in my last wishes that I want to be in Disney World, and I don't know how my family's going to ever pull that off. So
they're going to do it like everybody else. They're going to dump them in the Haunted Mansion.
No, they have to shut the ride down. I don't want to be sucked up in a vacuum cleaner. That would be worse.
I did hear, I don't know where I read it. It was a newspaper or magazine, online, obviously, but that Disney World and Disneyland are two of the most popular places where people go to dump their relatives' ashes.
Are they real? I believe it. Well, there's such happy times there, you know? You just kind of want to be left there for eternity.
Yeah. So if you do see ashes, don't, you know, don't step on them. That's somebody's grandmother or grandfather.
Oh.
Or aunt or uncle or father or mother or whoever.
I'll remember that next time.
Yeah. It's not a cigarette ash anymore. It's cremation.
Exactly. Oh, my goodness.
All right. So, Christy, we caught you right when you returned from a trip down here to Walt Disney World. And so I was wondering if you could kind of just give us a little recap. Was there anything new you saw, anything that really stood out to you this time that you just want to share with everybody?
Well, you know, this time I visited with just my parents. My mom and dad, they're in their 60s, and my husband was at a conference, and my children are still in school. They don't get out for spring break for a week. So this was kind of a different trip for me, kind of being solo and with mom and dad for a little bit. And so that was a different feel. I've never really done that before, gone into the parks completely alone and riding things. So that was interesting. And then without having my boys, I did a couple kind of girly things that I don't normally, you know, get much enthusiasm from my boys to do. So I checked out Enchanted Tales with Belle, which we've been in line for a couple of times, but had some technical difficulties and they had to close the ride for a little bit, and I could not coax my boys back into that line. So that was a lot of fun. And then I also saw the Frozen sing-along for the first time this weekend. And I'm a Frozen fan. I mean, I do like Frozen. I think the movie's very cute. But I wasn't sure how the sing-along would go. And I was actually really impressed. I thought the way that they did it and the narrators were just hilarious. And I've already prepped my boys that I want to go back and see it again on our next trip. So they'll have to, you know, do that one for Mom.
Yes. See, I loved it too. I really thought it was cute. And we just recorded the news, and it looks like they're adding some Frozen type things to Port Orleans resorts, and we can't get enough Frozen. So there's more all the time, and it's a good thing.
Yes, we can.
Tony's kind of tired of it. Tony's over it.
I can let it go.
Yes, my boys are with you. They can totally let it go.
Yeah.
And the other day we were watching Rent. We had the musical on, and it was the TV cut version, and my boys sat down and watched a few minutes of it, and I asked my kids, you know, what did they think about it, and my oldest son said, oh, I like the music, but it's a pretty sad story, and then my youngest son said, you know, I don't really like Frozen at all, but Elsa's pretty good in this, you know, in this show. I like her song about the cow, and I didn't even really put it together, but that, that, you know, of course, Idina Menzel that does Elsa was actually in Rent as well. And so my youngest son, although not a Frozen fan, really likes her cow song in Rent.
So he picked up on that. So.
Yes, he did. He thought that was great.
Now,
fantastic.
I think they should have taken Guardians of the Galaxy and done a sing-along for that. I mean, that's a lot of great old songs in there.
See, now my boys, I would have totally got them to go to that. They would have been
exactly.
into that.
Exactly. See? If you're going to do Frozen, have something for the guys.
You know, I do find that, that it seems like there's a lot of girl stuff and not quite as much boy stuff. But I think if this, when Star Wars takes off, they'll have some of their own things that they'll enjoy over there.
Let's hope.
Yeah, and hopefully it happens on a quick timeline.
Yeah. Well, from your lips to Bob Iger's ears. So tell everybody, Christy, where they can find you and where they can find your books.
Okay. Well, my website is DisneyWorldEnthusiast.com. And I have two books that are available on Amazon.com. The first one is A Tale of Two Resorts. It's comparing Disneyland and Walt Disney World. It's Traveler's Reference. That's the first one. And then the second book that just came out, also available on Amazon, is 501 Ways to Make the Most of Your Walt Disney World Vacation. And that book is just filled with tips and tricks and hints for anywhere from, you know, a Disney World newbie to a Disney World veteran. Just lots of fun things to have an enjoyable trip down there.
Fantastic. Yeah, everybody needs to check it out. And your website is phenomenal. I do not know how you have gathered gathered so much information as one person, but I mean, really, she's got recipes and tips and, you know, broken up by parks and everything else. So definitely check out DisneyWorldEnthusiast.com. And then she's got a nice big link there to her book if you want to purchase that. So thank you so much, Christy, for coming on the show. We really appreciate it.
Well, thanks so much for having me, guys. It's been great.
All right. So thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you in the parks.
The Disney Parks Podcast is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company. All Disney parks, attractions, lands, shows, event names, etc. are registered trademarks of the Walt Disney Company.
Like a boat out of the blue, fate steps in and sees you through.